Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for those who are finally pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying with multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which sadly included pregnancy loss, I became finally pregnant in 2018, and I'm now finally parenting my gorgeous daughter, Ren. In addition to this podcast, you'll find lots of other support for the wonderful Finally community over on my Instagram at Trying Years and at katstrawbridge.com. Examples of that support include the Finally Pregnant yoga and Pilates courses and a wonderful community called The Hangout. When you join The Hangout, which you can do whether you are pregnant or parenting, you'll receive a free meditation, access to 24/7 support, invitations to monthly speaker sessions and support groups, discounts, and lots more. Find out more about all of the support available to you at katstrawbridge.com. There's a link in the show notes. This season of the Finally Pregnant podcast is sponsored by Melio. Melio offers blood tests before, during, and after pregnancy, from non-invasive prenatal tests to general health checks, helping you and your family take control of their health. All Melio tests are conducted by trained professionals at locations throughout the UK, with the results sent directly to your phone or laptop. Plus, every test comes with a personal health report from a Melio doctor. Melio, the more you know about your health, the more you can do about it, and the best source of knowledge is your blood. To find out more or to find a location near you, visit meliohealth.co.uk/health-pregnancy. There'll be a link in the show notes. We've also recorded a bonus episode of the Finally Pregnant podcast with Melio doctor Donna Fullerton, where we take a closer look at non-invasive prenatal testing. Check out that bonus episode in season 4 of the Finally Pregnant podcast, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Hello there. How are you? Welcome to series 5 of the Finally Pregnant podcast. Can you believe it? I am so excited to be back and to be bringing you just the most amazing lineup of guests, some of whom you'll already know and others that hopefully, or, you know, I don't mind, but they'll be new to you. And I really, really hope that you enjoy listening to each and every one of them. They'll all be sharing their own unique stories of pregnancy and parenting after infertility and loss. Plus one who is actually the child in this scenario following donor IVF. And she's here to tell her story from that perspective, which I'm really, really looking forward to sharing that with you too. I want to thank each and every person who has joined me for this series and for the whole back catalogue of the podcast, because every time you share your story, I genuinely believe it changes lives. And for those listening, thank you too. I truly hope hearing these stories helps you at whatever stage of the journey you might be, whether that's trying to conceive, pregnant, or parenting. And I know that there are healthcare professionals who listen too, which is just incredible, because it's listening to our stories that will give you the most incredible insight into what we're experiencing, which I know will make you the very best person to support us through all of this. You are the person that we want by our side. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Gosh, well, what else is there to say? I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes, really. It's something that I haven't done a lot of before, and I hope you don't mind. Maybe indulge me for a moment. Because over the last couple of years since I started this podcast, a lot has changed, really. And I'm so enjoying that ride and working out who I am within my own life and my own parenting journey and what my work looks like within that too. And part of that work, as you will know if you're listening here or you follow me on Instagram, and is about how I raise the profile of the Finally community as much as possible, and also create the most accessible support for those who are pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss. All that has been leading me somewhere, which over the next few months, I hope to share with you. I have never worked for myself before. And I'm telling you, it is an adventure. And a lot of the time, I feel like I'm totally making it up as I go along. And yeah, it's just a lot. However, it is also incredibly fulfilling. It's confusing, it's overwhelming, but overall, it is an enjoyable adventure that I'm on. And I guess I'm telling you this because it's another thank you to all of those of you who have supported me in return for everything that I'm doing. Every review, like, share, follow, those who reply to the emails I send out, every time you download a meditation, join the Hangout, sign up for yoga or Pilates sessions, listen to this podcast. Whilst I know you're doing that because you're in a space where you need the support, or you're interested in hearing stories, that kind of thing. And I'm so glad that I'm here for you. But also, I just want to say thank you because you are supporting me. Over the last year, 18 months or so, every penny that I've earned through everything that I've been doing has been either paying for Ren's nursery. Childcare costs are a whole different topic in themselves, but so we won't go into that loads. But her being in nursery, I do genuinely believe that it is really good for her, but it's allowing me the space to do the work that I'm doing. Or anything left over is being ploughed back into this work. And that's so important. It isn't something I can do long term. You know, if this doesn't work for me, I need to go and get a job working for someone else. But, you know, it's a decision we've made as a family to try and get all of this on the ground because we feel so passionately that this space needs to be here and that the support for those who are pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss is just so needed, and that this is long term and it is here to stay. And, you know, I'm like manifesting it. This is my job. This is going to be my long term job. And I love that. It's really scary. And like I said, I'm not entirely sure what I'm doing a lot of the time, but it was really, really exciting too. Why am I telling you all of this? I guess I really want to share what's been going on, like I said, behind the scenes, even if I can't share everything with you yet. And also, it's a bit of a call to arms, if you don't mind, for now and for when I really need you in a few months' time when I share my project. I know I bang on about it, but your rating and review really, really, really does matter when it comes to the podcast. They affect how many people the podcast might reach, where the podcast appears in the charts, how many people listen, which goes on to affect not only how many people find the support that they really need, even if they didn't know they needed it, but also, I hate to bring it down to money, but also, you know, the listens affect my sponsorship potential, which then goes back into building the business that I'm creating and the support that I'm offering. So it is one big circle, and it genuinely cannot happen without you. So if you have nodded along to anything I or any of my guests have ever said, if anything I've posted on Instagram or you've read in my emails has resonated, if you want to be part of this journey I'm on because you know how tough it is to be pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss, and you don't want future generations to experience the isolation that this can cause, please, please, please take a moment. Review, rate, share, like this podcast, like my Instagram, everything, because really, 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 the next stage of this adventure, I couldn't do any of it without you, but the next bit is particularly scary for me, I guess, and I need you there with me. I need you by my side and supporting me. So yeah, if that's not too much to ask, that would be amazing. Whew, right. And whilst all of this is going on, so is my fertility treatment, which is, happening, ongoing. I will share more over the coming weeks and months, no doubt, because actually we talk about it on today's episode. I find it hard to share in real time. You know, there's just some stuff that you need to, well, I need to, or feel like I want to hold back and not feel any kind of unnecessary pressure, should I say. I don't really feel the pressure, but you know, I just don't want to put that on myself in a weak moment or anything about sharing what's going on specifically. But I will definitely share. as time goes on, because I know so many of you are out there rooting for me and supporting me and caring, you know, what's happening with regards to our fertility journey. I will say I'm on the meds and I am, you know, there were tears yesterday, not for any obvious reason. I've recently taken an Instagram break. I think that that overwhelm is a mixture of, you know, treatment being not far away on top of work stuff and everything else. Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? So well, I'll keep you up to date, but you might be a few weeks behind perhaps. But yeah. Oh, right. On to today's guest, who I came across when she actually came out, so to speak, on Instagram about being finally pregnant after an 8-year journey through secondary infertility and loss. Medina is such a lovely, lovely lady, and I had the pleasure of talking to her a couple of weeks ago. She runs her Insta account, Grillo Designs, and her website of the same name. All of the links to everything will be in the show notes. And she shares the most amazing interior design tips and hacks. But as you'll hear, there is so much more to her. I really did enjoy our chat. And I'm hoping that if she's not already holding her rainbow baby in her arms, because she was 38 weeks when we spoke just a couple of weeks ago, that they'll be here with us safely and healthily very, very soon. So watch this space with regard to, I guess, her Instagram, but hopefully when she shares, I will share when she shares as well. Yeah, that's it for now. Welcome and a huge, huge thank you. And I really, really hope that you enjoy today's show. Take care. Bye-bye. Hi there, Medina. How are you doing?
I am fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, actually. And I am really, really looking forward to our chat. As we talked about just a moment ago, I came across you really fairly recently when you announced your pregnancy on Instagram. And I was really touched by, you know, just in a short caption on Instagram, like how much you had been through. And I reached out to you to see if you would talk to me for the podcast. You really, really generously have said yes. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, being able to share your story, I guess, with my listeners. I know that you said that this is the first time that you've really talked about this in any detail, which is incredibly brave. And I just want to thank you so much for that. But initially, I guess, if you can tell us kind of who you are and what you do, that would be wonderful.
Thank you. So thank you for having me. So I am Medina. I am a DIY and interior blogger. I blog at grillodesigns.com. I have been doing that for about the last 5 years now. I'm also the author of the book Home Sweet Rented Home. And it's very much the approach of making a house feel like a home, regardless of whether you own it or you're renting. So it's a lot of focus on that with the DIY approach. That is basically me in a nutshell. That is literally what I do on Instagram. So a lot of the other things that you might see are just me sharing bits of my life as well, which is so much easier to do on a place like Instagram. So when I shared my story, that was a first for me.
And that's incredibly brave. I don't know if you felt this, but I know from conversations I've had with other people, there is unfortunately a bit of a pressure when you share, isn't there? Because when you keep things to yourself, it's only yourself. And I hate to say this, but this is how I felt, I guess, you know, that I was letting down almost. But then when you tell people, and you know that they are with you and they are supporting you and they want what's best, you know, but there is that element of pressure, isn't there?
There is, because you want to make sure you're getting it right. You want to make sure that you're not upsetting anybody by sharing your story as well. And you want to make sure that you're doing what you're sharing justice. So it's a lot of different things that you need to think about, like you said, not just yourself. And I also think in an age where we share so much, it's really important to think about the things that you're going to share twice before you put them out there, because you can never take them back. So it, for me, it had to be a space where I could think, okay, am I happy to see this post in, you know, 5 or 6 years time? And for me, it was, yeah, because I feel like I'm still in the process of healing from my pregnancy losses, and my whole fertility journey. But I feel like for me, it's easier to share something when I'm not involved in it. I like to share things once I've kind of gotten to the end stages or overcome it. So I'm not as emotional and I can just kind of see things a bit more clearly. And that's how I tend to share things. If I'm going through it, I just can't share it. But if I'm, you know, healing and feeling better, I can.
Oh, honestly, I hear you so much. It's like, I'm in the middle of fertility treatment at the moment. I'm not going to be sharing that until kind of it's a retrospective, you know, kind of view, because, and especially with Instagram, you know, there's that pressure. Oh, and I haven't updated people, but I'm really stressed and I've got loads of stuff going on. And then I'm worried about it. You know, it's like an added pressure. So no, I 100% hear that. And there are loads of people who have accounts specifically or use their accounts because they want to do it day to day and, you know, moment to moment. And again, just like the kind of coming out of about things, which we might have talked about pre-recording. Sorry if that's a bit abstract. I've just realized. But you know, it's about doing it what's right for you, ultimately. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So if you could tell us a little bit about your fertility history, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Yep. So after I got married, I was quite young, 21, I had a miscarriage quite soon, quite quickly. It was unexpected and we weren't really planning or anything like that. And that was my first insight to loss. And I would say that was really tough for me because I didn't really have anyone to talk to apart from my husband. I just felt really ashamed and I felt like my body had let me down. So I remember feeling, very, very, very emotional after the first one. But then a year later, we started trying and my son came and he's 9 years old now, which was a blessing. And it was lovely. I found motherhood was a very emotional up and down journey, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful every day for that. And then after I had my son, I would probably say when he was about three, four-ish, we kind of started trying again. I then went on to have a miscarriage again. And when I say miscarriage, it was just a natural miscarriage. So I miscarried on my own and there was nothing they could do about it. You know, it was horrible, but I quite quickly after that, I got pregnant again. But this one was very unexpected. I didn't know I was pregnant for quite a while. I woke up in the middle of the night. I was in excruciating pain. The ambulance had to come. And when they came, they tested me and said that you're actually pregnant. But I was like, oh, I've just had a period. So is that, can that be? And they said to me, well, we'll take you to the hospital. When I got there, they told me, yes, you're definitely pregnant. We think it's an ectopic pregnancy. And I remember feeling very overjoyed, like disbelief that I was pregnant, but then thinking, oh gosh, there's a baby inside of me. But then also, oh, I'm going to lose it now because, you know, when you have ectopic pregnancy, it means that your baby's actually in the wrong place. So there's no other way that baby can actually have a safe and viable pregnancy. They have to remove that baby. So they removed the baby. They also removed one of my tubes. And again, just that loss as well. They tell you that, you know, you can get pregnant again, but it's going to be a little bit more complicated. Your chances are reduced. So obviously by that time, I think I was, forgive me if I get my ages wrong because I'm so bad with my age, but I think I was about 24, 25 around that point. And then a year later, we started trying again, fell pregnant. I was so excited. And I had another ectopic pregnancy again. And I remember when they brought me into the scan room to scan me and he said to me, you know, sorry, there's no baby inside your womb. It was just the most devastating thing I had ever felt. And all the emotions from the first time round just came crashing back again. So they told me, we're going to have to do surgery. We're going to have to remove your tube. But what we'll do is we'll remove just like half of your tube, which in hindsight probably wasn't a very good idea. But they thought that they were doing me a favor because I was so young that I would still have a little bit of a tube left. So they removed that pregnancy. I went through a long period after that loss of just trying to heal. I did go through like quite a few depressive moments and depressive stages. That was a time when I started actually blogging. And I think having a blog and also just focus on my son and the blog kind of kept me going. At the time I was still quite young, my friend circle weren't really having children, so it was really hard to explain to them what I was going through. It wasn't really something that we really talk about in, you know, I'm Black, second generation Caribbean. We don't really talk about things like that as well. So there was that issue as well. It was one of those things where I just kind of just kept going through the motions of life. Until I got to a point, maybe 3 years ago, where I just thought, let me just see what my options are here. And we went back to the hospital and they said to me, we'll do some testing, but we likely think that you're tube that they left there is actually scarred or it's blocked, which is why you haven't fallen pregnant at all. And yet when they did a test to just see if that tube was working, they said, no, it's blocked. You're going to have to go through IVF, definitely. Just hearing that, I just thought, gosh, I mean, I've got one child already. I felt guilty wanting another child, even though I had a child. But I just kept looking at him thinking, I've always wanted to have at least three children. And I know children are a blessing. And I just thought, I know one is amazing, but I just wanted to have a brother or sister for him as well. So it was at that point where I thought, okay, maybe we could try IVF. But then when I looked at all the prices, I was like, gosh, we can't afford this. We could not afford this at all. So we just left it for the next 2 years. And then it just kept coming back into my mind, like, just try, just go for it, like save up your money, just work as hard as you can and just save the money that you might have wanted to use for a deposit for a house. Instead, let's try and use that money for something else, you know? I just kept thinking, I'm getting older. I don't want to regret not trying. So in the end, we decided to do IVF after a lot of research, a lot of asking other people who had done it as well. The place that I went to was someone that my friend had referred to me. Well, not a friend, I would say colleague, work colleague had referred to me. And it was like a very long process. But I remember going into it saying to my husband, like, we're going to try this once. And if it doesn't work, that's it. I'm not doing another cycle. I don't know if my mental health can take, you know, more bad news. So we went into it thinking we're just going to do it once. But when they actually came to the point of removing the embryos from the frozen cycle, they took out quite a lot of embryos, thankfully. So when I learned that, I thought, okay, maybe I'll try once more if I know that there's more than one, you know, chance that I could get pregnant again. But yeah, do you know what? I think I just say, I pray to God, it was from the will of God, because I got pregnant the first cycle and it was during COVID when things were very, very tough. Like I was doing visits on my own. My husband couldn't come in. I was doing that period of fertility where you're literally in and out, injecting yourself. You're very hormonal. You get really big because your belly swells up. You don't feel like yourself. You're exhausted. You're tired. That was really tough whilst also having COVID. But I thought, if I don't do it now, if I don't continue the process, I'm never going to do it. So I just continued throughout. We had a period during COVID where it was getting a bit, no one knew what was going on in the world. So we stopped and then we started back up again. I think it was probably say June, we started the whole process back again. And then I found out I was pregnant. And I only remember because it was in November, which was like the election time in America. And that's when I found out. And yeah, just disbelief and happiness, but also still unable to enjoy it to this very day. I'm actually 2 weeks away from my due date and I still have this like, oh my gosh, something's going to go wrong. Or I have a bit of a numbness. And I think that's just my mind's way to protect myself, if that makes sense.
Completely, completely. Honestly, I was just going to say, I don't know where to start. I do know where to start. Just in saying that I'm so sorry for everything that you've been through, because, you know, we wrap it up in a quick 5 minute, you know, kind of bio almost, you know, for the social media term. But I totally know and understand, as the listeners will, like how much went into everything you've talked about and how much that took from you and your family and just, yeah, the impact that that would have had. And you've talked about your mental health, you know, and just, yeah, it's just enormous. And so it's so, so wonderful that you are here now. Going into IVF is always difficult. I did skip into it and thought, all right, now I'm going to have a baby because it works all the time. And I now know that isn't the case. It is incredible that it has worked first time for you. I'm so delighted, genuinely. And, you know, people have guilt over that. And it's like, no, this is the right thing. This is the good thing. This should be happening. You talked in one of your posts, and I'm just going to bring, I did copy a little bit here, one moment up, about being pregnant And how you felt about it. You said you feel a mix of emotions from happiness, excitement, shock to anxiety, grief, worry, and disbelief. You know, it is all of those feelings, isn't it? Especially as you mentioned, you were doing this during COVID. How have you supported yourself during that time with all of those different emotions?
Do you know what? I think it's really important for communication between yourself and your partner, your other half. You know, we've been together quite a lot this year just because of COVID. We spent a lot of time together. We spent a lot of time talking about outcomes and how we'd react if this happens or if this didn't happen. So that's really helped. And I also think during COVID, I really, when it comes to my friendships, there are certain people that I was able to go turn to and just talk to about how I was feeling. They checked in on me. They understood what I needed in my space. And I think just having that support, friendship groups, even, you know, my family as well, they knew what I was going through and they were supportive in how they could be supportive. So like with my son and just like helping me with him and, you know, things like that. I think just having a community around you that is there when you need them, that is the most important, especially during COVID. Obviously, it was a bit more difficult because there's a lot of restrictions, but even just like phone calls or, you know, Skyping or anything like that, that has helped a lot. And I think I'm glad that I had this time with my husband. Like, he's been working from home, he still is, because I don't think I would have been able to cope with the whole process if he'd been working his 9-to-5 job, you know, out the house, coming back at like 8 or 9 in the evening and not me seeing him every day. So I think having him here has really, really helped. And it's definitely helped to bring our little family together as well, because we've just bonded so much more, you know, my son and my husband and I. And I think these moments as three is quite precious before, you know, we become four. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember talking to someone for one of the other episodes about the silver linings. You know, there is, COVID has caused so much, you know, distress and heartache, and there is so much negative to come from it. But the silver linings are, and I completely agree, you know, like with my family, that Bob is home more, that we have, I know that him and Ren have been able to bond much more than they would have done if he was commuting into London every day. And with regards to the support that you've received because of that family unit and all being together, I totally hear you, that that's just felt, I guess, in some ways maybe more secure and just more supportive.
Like, you're not alone.
Exactly, because you are going through this together. If you are going through this with a partner, this is something you're both going through, and you're both going to have anxiety and worry and joy and celebration and all of the emotions. And so if you can do that together and support each other through the ups and downs, as you mentioned, through the communication, that's incredible. Tell me, if you would, about your son in regards to how you have found parenting whilst you've been going through this journey. There will be people who are pregnant who may have experienced loss before, but who are right now finally pregnant so that they can grow their families even further. How did that impact you? How did you negotiate parenting and trying?
It was very hard. I think, again, I have to keep referencing COVID, because this is a time when kids were off school, we were homeschooling, it was very stressful, I was still working. So I probably wouldn't say I did my best parenting last year, because I don't think I did. And I don't think many people did. And I just, that's one of the things that I've just said, it is what it is. I did the best that I could in a really tricky and hard situation. But as for parenting, like when I, whilst I was going through the treatment, it was a little bit difficult because I didn't know how to tell him that that's what we were doing. He wasn't at the age that he could understand that's what we were doing. So I would just say things like, oh, mommy's a bit tired today, or mommy might be able to play with you, but I can't, I'm going to lie on the sofa for a bit. Just like little things like that. And I didn't like that he could see me sometimes a bit emotional, but I do think that it's important that children see a mix of emotion from their parents. It can't just always be happy, or just, you know, you have to show like when you feel a bit sad, or, you know, when you feel happy or excited. So I think I kind of included him in that, but not too much. He would know because he would come to some of the visits in the car and with my husband, and he'd wait in there. So he would know that I'd be going to the hospital, but it wasn't anything alarming. It was just like, mommy's just making sure that she's okay and checking up. Obviously, we told him quite early on that I was pregnant just to prepare him. We did talk about it quite a lot, whether we should do that or not, just in case it did end in a miscarriage. But I just thought that it's something that we were doing together. So I feel like he needed to know. And I think that's kind of helped him bond with the idea that he's going to have a baby brother or sister soon. Which it has actually. I think him knowing from the beginning has really, really helped with that. So I wouldn't say I have the best parenting tips, but I would just say go easy on yourself. Like, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Do the best that you can. And also, if you do have a partner or if you do have anyone else who can help you during this time, use it. You know, send your child to play dates, or, you know, if you're feeling quite emotional one day and you don't want your son or your daughter to be around that, then maybe organize something away from home so you can just kind of allow yourself to be how you feel without worrying about your child. So that's probably the best advice I would say, to just use the support around you as much as possible at that stage.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, yeah, the last 18 months, I don't think anyone's been living their best life, have they? Or doing their best. Well, actually, do you know what? I think everyone has been doing their best parenting, you know, under the
That's
circumstances.
true.
And because it's just been so incredibly difficult. And then to be dealing with everything else on top of that is huge. So, yeah. And I completely agree about, you know, showing emotion in front of children, that we definitely should, because I believe that it helps them be more compassionate and or learn to be more compassionate and more empathetic. And yeah, I think that that's really important. Ren's going through a stage at the moment where it's a bit sad. They're a bit sad. They're a bit sad. And I'm like, oh my God, is everyone really sad all the time? I kind of like, I'm hoping it's a phase. And then tomorrow everyone will be, oh, they're a bit happy. Oh, they're a bit ha-. And then I'll feel a bit more comfortable. Because you do think, have I been too sad in front of them? Have I, you know, have I been crying all the time? I didn't know. But yeah, definitely that's transparency. And how are you feeling? It actually brings me back to for the last series, I interviewed Kezia, the infertility counselor, and she went through a long journey to have her second child, who is now here. And her son is, oh, I want to say he's about that age. He might be about 8 or 9. And so to be the parent of one child and to be in that family, you know, the triangle family, as people call it, and, you know, because we try and steer away from only, you know, you've been in that situation for a long time. You've been that family of three for a long time. It's going to be quite a big transition, or maybe it's not. How are you feeling about it?
No, it's definitely going to be a big transition because for 9 years, my son has been the focus of my life 100%. And he knows that he's been the focus of both his mum and dad. So it's definitely going to be a big adjustment. I'm feeling like this is my first pregnancy again. I haven't forgotten, but some of my friends who've recently had children are saying, I'm like, oh gosh, I remember that. Oh, not that I'd forgotten, but it's there still. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to utilize those skills. But it definitely feels new in a way. I mean, some of the things that baby products that they had years ago, they no longer have, and the rules have changed, and everything feels completely different. As to how I'm feeling, I definitely feel, I always have to keep saying this, I feel very grateful, I feel very happy, but I also feel like I'm just in this bubble. It's such a weird, I can't explain it. It's like I feel like this is happening to me, but I'm also watching it happen to me. So it still doesn't feel very real. And like when I attend my midwife appointments and they're checking me or they're touching my belly and telling me things that I should be doing or shouldn't doing, I just have this sense of like, oh gosh, yeah, you're pregnant, Medina. You're having a baby soon. It doesn't feel real. And I think it will only feel real to me once the baby is in my hands and they're here. But for even the movement, I feel a bit baby moving. I know it's my baby, but it still feels surreal. So I don't know if that's just a result of me having just so much losses, or my mind is just trying to protect me, that if anything, God forbid, was to go wrong, that I have this wall up to think that it didn't happen to me, it happened to somebody else. So I think that's just a result of trauma. And I think it's something that I still have to work on. And I think it's something that is normal in these circumstances. But yeah, there is excitement. It's funny because talking to my husband, he has the same sort of act. So it happened to him, but it didn't happen to him physically, like with regards to my losses. But he has exactly the same way that I'm thinking with regards to it doesn't feel real. He has the same kind of emotion. So for him, he's the same thing. Like, I keep forgetting that we're pregnant. I keep forgetting that you have a baby in there. And it won't feel real to me until that baby comes. So it's interesting how, even though my body has been through it physically, he has been through it emotionally as well. So I feel like when you have a miscarriage, it's not just the woman, it's also the partner or the other half that is going through it with you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think sometimes in my past, I've definitely thought, that it's easier being the one going through it in some ways, I don't know, yeah. than the person watching, but they are still going through it, even yeah. though it's not that physicality. I completely agree. And you talking about that surrealism and almost like a bit of a disconnect, I guess, between yourself and the pregnancy. You know, these are things that I hear time and time again, and people are like, I just can't connect with my baby. I can't. And often people, by the time the movements start, the bump, you know, kind of pops a little bit and that helps a little bit more, and then the movements and things. But I think it's incredibly common, unfortunately, to hear people say, you know, until they're in my arms,
yeah.
I can't believe it. And what I would say, you know, to you and to other people who are out there who are pregnant right now, particularly, I guess, in the early stages, but all through, is if you can't connect with the baby, which is completely understandable, like try and connect with your body. You know, and nourish your body and nurture your body, because your body is connected to your yeah. baby, but your body is something you can focus on rather than focusing on this kind of, you know, completely untouchable, essentially, mm. being that's growing inside you. So that's how I try and support people through that. I don't know if that's something that you kind of, you know, I know that you're...
No, that's great advice, actually. I didn't even think of it like that.
Good. Phew. That's good. But that's really lovely to hear. But you are, like you said, 2 weeks away from yeah. your due date, which is amazing. And so often, and especially given your experience of loss, we spend the whole time thinking, stay in, stay in, stay in, yeah. stay in, stay in. But now, and over the last few weeks, I guess, you have had to really change your mindset to think about how they're coming out. And you do have a healthcare professional background, nursing and midwifery. And so you have an understanding from that perspective, and yeah. and to a degree, you know, you have been through this before, but like you said, you know, that feels quite removed in many ways, and lots of things have changed. How are you feeling about the birth? You don't need to divulge any specifics, it's fine, but, yeah. but your choices around that.
I think because I've been a midwife, I've delivered many babies, I've seen all types of situations. People have asked me like, how, like your birth plan, what have you got in plan? And I think for me, because I've seen so much, I'm very aware that babies will come out. I mean, you can have a plan, that's great. It's good to know what you don't want and what you do want, but just know that it doesn't always go to plan. And I think I've seen that's quite a lot. So I'm just going on with an open mind so that I don't get too upset when things don't go the way that I want them to, because I don't think when it comes to birthing, it doesn't always go that way. And I think that's probably my midwifery background that's there. And obviously just a little bit cautious as well, because I've seen lots of things, not just as a midwife, but as a gynecology nurse as well. I've seen a lots of loss and things like that. And that doesn't always help when you're having a baby, but you kind of have to kind of block those things out and just think of yourself as a mother and not as a professional. But yeah, I'm feeling a little bit nervous. I know what to expect 100%. Well, my first child, I was actually studying to be a midwife, so I knew what to expect. And sometimes I feel like knowing too much is always not a good thing. Because I remember when I had my first delivery, he ended up being a C-section. And I remember when they attached me to the monitors, I knew when his heart was going down because I had already trained. Like when you know too much, I don't think it's that great. But this time I think I'm going to go in with a lot less expectations. I'm going to be a bit more easy on myself and my body, even with things like breastfeeding and stuff like that. I think I was very hard on myself the first time round. And I think I'm just going to go in with a lot less expectations so that there's just more room for, if things don't go to plan, I'm not going to be as upset by it.
If I could bottle that and give that out to people, I would. I completely agree. I remember being petrified of, and I remember when I was 16 thinking how incredible it is to like have, you know, like grow a baby inside you. But I've also always thought, you know, like there must be an impending doom about like, oh my God, this baby's got to come out. What does that look like? But when I went in, I was induced, and when I went in for my induction, I was like, all being well, I'm going to be holding her, and we knew it was a girl within the next week. But what does that actually look like, you know? But that's the thing, we really don't know. And as you've said, from the professional side of things, it can look like myriad of different things. So going in with that openness And that versatility in mind, I think, is just so, so important, definitely. So I'm really glad that you have shared that. Thank you. One other thing that I just want to talk to you about, and it's more to do with your kind of renting mentality and kind of showcasing and that kind of thing. So often you see people move just before they have a baby. And yeah. I think that in the UK specifically, it is about home owning. And that's brilliant, you know, if you can and you do. I know one of my cousins lives in Germany, and I know in Germany, like renting, I know it's changing a little bit over there at the moment, but, you know, renting has just been the norm. And so many people here are renting.
Yeah.
But we want to bring our babies home to our home, don't we? Whether it's rented, whether it is our own kind of, we probably mortgage, let's face it. But talk to me, because you have done a reel recently about creating a nursery space within yeah. your bedroom. Like, talk to me about that. Like, what are your kind of, I guess, your top tips, perhaps, professionally yeah. with regards yeah. to nursery building and, yeah. and making a home?
My biggest thing is that when it comes to making a home, especially when you have children, your children will never really care or know that the house was rented or bought. When I was younger and my parents rented, it wasn't something like, oh, my mom and dad are renting the house. That didn't mean anything to me. What made a difference to me was how the house felt, how I felt within that house, and the kind of memories that we created there. So I think that's the first thing, is we really need to understand that maybe we might have this idea that we want to own a house for us, but our kids really do not care at this stage. So we're not moving from this home right now. I just think it's really important, especially COVID has taught me this as well, to make the best of whatever you have, situation you have. There are lots of people that are renting that maybe might be renting a council home. They can't move if they got two rooms or whatever, it's long waiting lists. Some people who are private renting can't afford a bigger home. In our situation, we're quite comfortable here. And again, it's just making the most of all those little corners and things that you might not have made the most of before because you have another baby coming. And I think the general thing is babies don't need a lot of space. They don't need their own whole rooms when they're that young. They just want to be close to you, don't they? I think I've learned a few things from my son as well. Like, he had his own nursery because we just had a spare room going, so it just made sense. But he was never in it. He was never in his room. It turned into like a guest room at the end. He was never in there. He didn't sleep on his own. And he probably went to his own room, like slept a full night's sleep when he was probably 8 or 9 months. But yeah, he never really spent much time in his bedroom. So my thing is just, if you have your room, try and find ways to make it into a nursery, but also a space that you can chill out and relax in, because that's what your bedroom should be to you. So I've just done things like move my furniture around a little bit so there's more floor space, like added rails and things, because baby's clothes, again, don't take up much space. You don't need a whole wardrobe for them if you don't have the space. I've put up like tension rods so I can move and adjust when I want to. I've taken 2 emptied out drawers from my dresser for the baby. I've put up a little changing station. Rather than having a table, I've just put a basket on a dresser that I already have. And again, just keeping our neutral, because I'm not very like pink and blue kind of thing when it comes to kids. Keeping our decor very neutral and keeping the space, again, a space that I feel that I can chill out in, relax in when the baby comes. I think that's really important. So I think you can make any space as homely as you like. You don't need a nursery. And I think it's really important to understand that how you make those memories, that's the most important thing.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you sharing that and sharing your whole story with us. It's just, yeah, it's just really very special. And I am so excited that after all of this, you will be bringing your little one home in the next few weeks. And I wish you all the luck in the world with everything that's to come. And we'll be looking out for the announcement when you're ready. And all of the details for your Instagram and your website and things will be in the show notes as well. But just remind people where they can find you on Instagram, if you would.
Yep. So you can find me at Quillo Designs. You can also find me at How I Rent, which is a page just for renters. And then there's also my blog, quillodesigns.com. And then my book is Home Sweet Rented Home, which you can buy at most places online.
Thank you so much, Medina. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.